Today we're building a Subway Jungle intro in Ableton Live 12, with an advanced mindset and a mastering brain from the very beginning. This is not just about making the opening sound dark, it's about making the intro feel controlled, powerful, and ready to hand off into a bigger drop. In drum and bass, especially jungle and rollers territory, the intro has to do a lot of work fast. It needs to establish the groove, suggest the bass identity, create tension, and still leave enough space so the drop feels massive when it lands. So the big idea here is simple, clean, arranged, and intentional. Heavy but not messy. Atmospheric, but not cluttered. Deep, but still DJ-friendly. Let's start by setting up the architecture before we get lost in sound design. Open arrangement view, and carve out a 16-bar or 32-bar intro section. Label it clearly. If you're working like a pro, color-code your groups right away. Drums, bass, effects, and atmosphere. That sounds like a small move, but it speeds up decision-making a lot. In fast-paced DNB writing, clarity in the session often leads to clarity in the music. Now think in phrase blocks. Don't ask, what sounds cool? Ask, what does the listener need to hear here and what should wait? A strong intro usually works like this. The first 8 bars establish the groove and sonic identity, the next 8 bars introduce bass movement and tension, and the final 4 to 8 bars push energy toward the drop. If you want this to be DJ-friendly, that first 8-bar section especially needs to be clean enough for blending. Now let's build the break foundation. Drop in a classic break or a break layer, and decide how you want to handle it. You can work with auto directly, slice it to drum rack, or use simpler depending on your style. For an advanced intro, the goal is not just clean. It's alive, but controlled. Warp the break carefully so the transient sits solidly at 172 BPM. If you want more detailed control over ghost notes, slice it to drum rack. Use clip cane and fades to tighten any messy tails. And if the break feels thin, layer a clean kick or low tom underneath it to give it more body. Then shape it with EQ and light bus processing. High pass around 30 to 40 Hz to clear out sub rumble that doesn't help the groove. If the snare crack is biting too hard, make a small dip around 3 to 5 kHz. Use drum bus lightly if you want extra glue, but don't overdo the drive. A touch can make the break feel older, grittier, and more expensive. Too much and it starts to flatten the life out of the rhythm. And that's a key point here. Don't overquantize everything. Jungle lives in the details. Keep the shuffle. Keep the ghost notes. Keep a little off-grid feel. Just clean up the tails and preserve the movement. The break is not just rhythm here. It's the frequency map of the intro. It occupies body, character, and snap, and everything else needs to make room for it. Now let's design the subweight foundation. When I say subweight, I do not just mean loud sub. I mean sub that feels heavy because it's clean, consistent, and placed with intent. Use operator or wave editable to create a dedicated bass track, and keep the lowest layer strictly mono. A sine wave is a great starting point. Give it a very fast attack, something like 0 to 5 milliseconds, and a release that fits the note length, maybe 80 to 180 milliseconds depending on the phrase. Keep the movement simple at first. A really effective jungle intro often uses call and response phrasing. For example, one bar with a sub hit on beat 1, then another bar with a syncopated pickup before beat 3 or 4, then a bar of space. That space is important. Bass makes the bass feel intentional instead of constant. Put utility on the sub track and lock the width to 0%. If needed, use bass mono for extra discipline. Trim the gain so the sub supports the kick rather than bulldozes over it. Then add saturator carefully. Just a little drive, maybe 1 to 4 dB, with soft clip-on, is often enough to create harmonics that help the sub translate on smaller speakers without turning it into distortion soup. If the sub disappears on small systems, don't just make it louder. Add a second layer above it with some harmonic edge, then high pass that layer around 90 to 140 Hz so it supports the weight, without duplicating the fundamentals. That's the advanced move. The listener should feel the sub, but the mix should still breathe. Now for tension. We bring in a restrained mid-bass or Reese teaser. This is where the intro starts hinting at what the drop will do, without fully giving it away. Use wave-eatable, analog, or even a resampled bass clip. Two detuned saws, or a saw and square blend, can work really well. Low-pass it hard so it sits behind the drums, and automate the filter slowly so it opens as the intro progresses. A good stock chain here is wave-eatable into auto-filter, then saturator, then utility. You can add chorus ensemble very lightly if you want width above the low end, but be careful. The low end itself stays narrow and disciplined. Try starting the filter cutoff somewhere around 150 to 400 Hz, then opening it a little in the lead into the drop. Keep resonance moderate. Use distortion for density, not loudness, and most importantly, phrase the bass like it's talking to the drums. A short response after a fill or a note landing on the end of 2 or 4 can create that underground DNB conversation between rhythm and bass that really makes a track feel alive. Now we shape the intro with automation instead of clutter. This is one of the biggest advanced lessons here. A premium intro is often just a few elements that evolve intelligently. Instead of adding more and more layers, use automation to create motion. Automate auto-filter cutoff on your atmosphere or bass teaser. Automate reverb dry slash wet on a ghost snare or transition hit. Use echo throws sparingly. Automate utility gain for little dips before the drop. You can even use EQ8 automation to gradually clear space in the atmosphere so the drop hits into a cleaner field. One great move is to slowly high pass the atmosphere from around 120 Hz up to 300 or even 500 Hz as the section develops. Another is opening the bass filter only in the last 2 to 4 bars, so the energy rises without the arrangement becoming crowded. You can also pull the whole intro down by 1 or 2 dB in the final bar. That tiny dip makes the drop feel bigger when it lands. That's the real old discipline here. Don't automate everything constantly. Let one or two elements evolve while the rest stays stable. Stability in the low end is part of what makes the movement feel powerful. Now let's add effects as transition language, not decoration. You don't need a pile of effects. You need a few clear phrase markers, a reverse symbol into a phrase change, a short impact on bar 8 or 16, a noise riser made from operator or wavetable and filtered through auto filter, maybe an echo throw on a snare, ghost or stab. The rule is simple. Keep effects out of the sub-region. High-pass them aggressively, usually at least 150 to 250 Hz, so they don't mask the kick and bass relationship. If your effects are eating low-end space, they're not helping. They're stealing impact from the drop. Now we route and bus the section like we're already thinking about mastering. Send drums to a drum bus and bass layers to a bass bus. This is where the mastering mindset becomes practical. You are not mastering the full track yet, but you are making decisions that affect translation and loudness. On the drum bus, a little drum bus can give the break extra snap and glue. Keep drive modest and be conservative with boom. On the bass bus, use EQ8 to clear low-mid buildup, a touch of saturator for density, and utility to keep the sub-region mono. At this stage, ask the important checks. Can you still see the kick transient? Is the sub stable in mono? Is there buildup around 120 to 250 Hz? Does the top end get harsh when effects come in? Use Spectrum if you need a visual check, but trust your ears first. If you want, bring in a reference track and a separate channel. Don't compare volume only. Compare perceived energy, low-end weight, and brightness. That's a much smarter way to judge an intro. Now we arrange the tension curve like a DJ will actually mix it. A 16-bar intro can be very effective if the structure is clear. Bars 1 to 4, drums and atmosphere only, very little bass. Bars 5 to 8, bring in a sub pickup or bass tail. Bars 9 to 12, increase drum variation and add one reese hint. Bars 13 to 16, more automation, a fill, an impact, then the drop. If you're doing a 32-bar intro, repeat the first 16 with variation. Swap a fill, shift the bass phrasing, add a new atmosphere layer or a reverse texture in the second half. And throughout the whole thing, use micro variation every 4 bars. One ghost snare changes into a flam. One bass note is delayed by a 16th, a half bar of reduced drum density. Small moves, big effect. This keeps the intro evolving without becoming messy. Then comes the cleanup pass. Check mono compatibility. Collapse the low end and listen for phase issues. Check your headroom and make sure you're not pushing random peaks too hard. Watch for harshness in the 2 to 5 kHz range if the break or effects get piercing. Watch low mid clutter around 150 to 400 Hz. Keep atmosphere wide. Keep sub narrow. Use utility for width and mono checks. Use EQ8 for surgical fixes. Use Spectrum for visual support. And only use limiter as a temporary safety check, not as a crutch. If the intro already sounds balanced at moderate volume, that's a great sign. It means the final master can enhance it later instead of rescuing it. A few common mistakes to avoid. Too much bass too early. Wide low end. Breaks there technically clean, but dead. Effects masking the drums. No phrasing contrast, oversaturation, and trying to make it loud too soon on the master bus. Don't chase final loudness in arrangement mode. Build something clean and strong first. And here are a few pro-level moves that really help in darker, heavier DNB. Try layering a ghost sub note under a break fill. Use resonance as tension, not decoration. Automate bass density rather than just volume. Resample your bass teaser into audio and chop it up if the phrasing feels better that way. Let one element misbehave a little, like a slightly unstable reese or warped break fragment, as long as the low end stays disciplined. If you want to go further, think in contrast pairs. Dry drums against distant wash. Stable sub against restless percussion. Narrow low end against wide air. That contrast is often what makes the intro feel heavy. If everything is heavy, nothing feels heavy. So here's your challenge. Build a 16-bar Subway Jungle intro sketch in Ableton Live 12. One tight break, one sign submotif, one mid-bass teaser, one atmosphere layer, one reverse swell, one filter automation move, one gain dip before the drop. Then check it in mono and ask yourself the most important question. Does this intro promise the drop without revealing it? That's the whole game. A great Subway Jungle intro doesn't just sound dark. It feels engineered to make the drop hit harder.